divine souls. I've been explaining to you the conditions of the path of bhakti as they are told to us in our scriptures and by our great historical saints. The reason that we need to understand these conditions is that if we're doing bhakti without understanding this, then we're not going to get the actual result that you're supposed to get from bhakti, which is God realization. The first condition is that we should be nishkam or ahaituki. We should not demand any worldly thing from God, nor should we even ask him for liberation. This is condition number one. Condition number two is that bhakti should be independent. Since it is supreme, it is unnecessary to affiliate the practice of bhakti with any other path or practice. Number three, we need to develop a relationship in our heart with God so that we can love God. And I told you there are five kinds of relationships. Loving God as a subject would love his king, shant bhav, which is the most distant. Closer than that is dasya bhav. Loving God as a servant would love a benevolent master. Higher than that is sakya bhav, which means the love between two friends. Having these feelings for Shri Krishna is called sakya bhav. Loving God with the feelings that a parent has for their child is called vatsalya bhav, and that's even beyond sakya bhav. And finally, you heard about madhurya bhav. Loving Shri Krishna as your divine beloved of your soul. Your everything, all the relationships put together are there incorporated into madhurya bhav. Whichever bhav seems the most natural to you or appeals to you, you can adopt that way of thinking of God. So that God is not just God to you. God is somebody personal for you, your friend, your child, your beloved. But that's up to us to create that feeling in our heart by adopting one of these modes of relationship in our mind when we meditate on Shri Krishna. Yesterday I also told you that there's one other condition called ananyata. This is the fourth condition. We are supposed to be ananya. Ananya means only having hope and attachment in God and not anywhere else. Anya means other. Ananya means no other, only Shri Krishna. So where are the other places that our mind might be surrendered other than to Shri Krishna? There are a few places. We could have our mind surrendered to ourselves, for instance. It means we rely on ourselves. This is why Kunti Devi said, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri Bhiredha Mana Mada Puman Naivarhatya Bidhatum Vaitvama Kinchana Gocharam Bhagavat. Shri Krishna, you are attainable by those who are akinchan. Akinchan means this feeling that I have nothing, Krishna, except you. I feel destitute. Destitute means like if you have no house, no family, no friends, no money, no job, nothing, totally destitute. Nobody to help you, nothing to rely on. So Bhagwan is called the refuge of destitutes. Asharana Sharana. That's one of his names. We have to accept ourselves to be asharan, meaning having no other recourse, no other refuge except Bhagwan. If we are endowed with great intelligence, then we feel like, oh, I'm great because I have this quality. So we're taking refuge in that quality, and that doesn't allow us to become surrendered to God because we don't feel destitute. So we won't go crawling to his door. We think, no, 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 I am intelligent. That's all I need. Then someone may be beautiful. Someone with great beauty feels like, oh, I've got this beauty, and that gives them a sense of security. Or someone may be very strong physically, and that gives them a sense of security. Being ananya means that we should get our sense of security from our relationship with Shri Krishna. Why? Well, because our beauty may go at any time. It may go slowly as we age, or it may go quickly if we had an accident or something. Our intelligence can only get us so far. That may go too. Our strength will certainly go. All of the things we rely on for ourselves, those are not truly reliable. They may go at any time. We may rely on our dhan, on our wealth. Oh, I have so much money in the bank, so I feel secure. That money could be gone in a second as well. People have this fear in the world that, oh, I want some kind of security. I want some security that I won't lose my house, I won't lose my wealth, I won't lose my family. We want to be able to hang on to these things. Why? Because we're not surrendered to God. We're not ananya. We think, if I lose my wealth, what will I do? If I lose my house, what will I do? If I lose all my friends, what will I do? What do you mean, what will you do? You have Krishna. You're denying that you have Krishna. You're saying, oh, I need all of these things. You feel secure in your friends, your family, your bank account, your job, all these things. But none of these things are going to last forever. And we don't have a guarantee that they're even going to last for this whole life. They could be gone at any moment. Our bank account could be cleared out. Our identity could be stolen online. Our credit rating could be trashed. We could get fired from the job, lose our pension. Who knows? Anything could happen. Everyone could abandon us. Even if that happened, we should never fear. We should always feel like, what's the big deal? I have my Shri Krishna. Kripaluji Maharaj always used to say, you have ananta koti brahmandon ke nayak aapke hriday mein baithe hain, kisse darna hai? The Lord of the whole universe is sitting right there in your heart. You should feel like, you know how if someone's father has $1 billion, how does the son walk around? Akarke chalte hain, na? If someone is the son or daughter of the president or someone very important, they walk around like that. Huh, who do I have to fear? I've got my father. So we have the Lord of the universe, Shri Krishna, right here, right inside of us. We should be walking around like that. Lost my house? Huh, what's the big deal? You think I'm afraid of that? That is ananyata. Anya shrayanam tyago ananyata. Naradji says, leaving the shelter of all others, but one, but for Shri Krishna, that is ananyata. Exclusiveness in devotion. Now, leaving the shelter of doesn't mean physically. That doesn't mean you have to test it out like, okay, let's burn all my money and go and live outside of my house, give up everything. No, it doesn't mean that you have to physically renounce everything. It means from inside you should not take emotional shelter in those things. That, oh, I feel safe because I have this many friends. I feel safe because I have that much money in the bank. It's our mind that has to turn towards God, not the physical body. So turn your mind towards Shri Krishna. Give up the emotional dependence on all others but one. This is ananyata. No person in this world can love us all the time. Never mind loving us perfectly. Even when someone's loving us, they don't love us perfectly. We find some complaint, don't we? But even if they could love us perfectly, they wouldn't love us all the time. They have their own desires, their own likes and dislikes. They can't support us all the time in every situation. And even if they could, there's no guarantee that the ones we love are going to stay with us for our whole life. So we can't rely on any other person to keep us safe forever. We can't rely on our wealth to keep us safe forever. Who can we rely on? Some people look to another place. They look to the devtas. Devtas reside in swarg, like Indra, Vayu, Agni. There are many important material personalities that we call devtas. In English, we could call them celestial gods and goddesses. But this word god does not indicate Bhagwan, divine god with a capital G. We say celestial gods because they have power, great power, but only material power, not divine power. We reside here in Mrityulok, and those devtas reside in Swarg. What happens if someone worships the devtas? Yanti devabrata devan pitrinyanti pitribrata bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti madhyajinopimam. Gita. Shri Krishna says, whomever you worship, that's where you'll go, wherever they are. So if you worship devtas, you'll go to swarg. What happens then? Te tam bhuktva swarga lokam vishalam chirne punye martya lokam vishanti. Gita. You go to swarg, you enjoy the great pleasures over there, which are greater than the pleasures of this mrityulok. But they're still material pleasures, so they don't give you divine happiness. They don't satisfy you on a soul level any more than the pleasures here do. And you don't get to stay there forever. You enjoy for a limited time, and then you come back here in Mrityulok. So if you worship the devtas, you can go to Swarg temporarily, and then you would come back here. So our scriptures tell us, Gita says, Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschita vedavadarata partha nanyadastiti vadina. The one who strives to go to swarg by worshipping the devtas is very foolish. How foolish? Ishtapurtam manyamana varishtam nanyachreyo vedayante pramudha. Mundaka Upanishad says, they are pramudha. It means the greatest of all the fools is the one who worships celestial gods, devtas, in order to go to swarg. It's interesting that sometimes when a close, respected relative passes away, we write in their obituary that Hamare Pujya so-and-so, maybe Hamare Pujya Pitaji or someone, ka swargavas ho gaya. So we're actually doing their burai. Because Ved and Gita are saying that only a fool goes to swarg, and we're saying, oh, my respected so-and-so is now in swarg. He's passed away and he's gone to swarg. Then why is the worship of devtas told about in Vedas? There's huge amounts of the Vedas that prescribes worship to these devtas. Think of it like kindergarten or elementary school. In our Sanatan Dharma, there's something for everybody. What if someone doesn't desire God? What if they don't even believe in God? Let alone thinking about attaining God, they don't even believe in God. But they do want to enjoy material pleasures. So our Vedas say, that's okay. You'll believe in God later. For now, let me show you how you can enjoy material pleasures even more than you enjoy here in this world. The person says, oh, really? There's devtas, and they live in Swarg, and over there the pleasures are hundreds and thousands and millions of times greater than the pleasures over here. Do you want to enjoy that? Oh yes, I want to enjoy that. Okay, what do you have to do? Do this yajna. Do this charity. Do this worship to the devtas. What will that do? Well, by doing all of that, you'll accumulate punya, and on the merit of your punya, you will get to go to Swarg and enjoy for some time. So what Ved is doing is giving some incentive for the person to do some good actions. See, if you're performing a yajna, it requires a lot of discipline to follow all the rules correctly. It's very strict. You have to do the yajna exactly as it's prescribed by Vedas. So Ved is actually getting this person, without their even knowing it, to discipline their mind and develop the sattvic guna in their mind. So what happens is, let's say the person does this for several lifetimes, and maybe they go to Swarg a few times, maybe they don't, whatever, they're trying. They're trying to gain more material enjoyments by doing all of these good actions prescribed in the Vedas. Eventually, that person's mind will purify a little bit through doing this, and they may start to question, you know, all of these pleasures, they're not fully satisfying me. Is there anything beyond this? Is there a divine state I could attain? Then Ved comes and says, yes, there's Bhagwan. Those devatas you've been worshipping, they're under Maya, just like you. But if you want to worship Supreme God, you can attain liberation from Maya, and you can enjoy unlimited divine bliss forever. See, it's like steps. Ved has something for everybody. But for the ones on the path of bhakti who have decided the goal of my life is to attain Supreme God, get liberation from Maya and divine bliss, for that person to worship any devta is utter foolishness. Those devatas, look at them. Whenever they get in trouble, who do they go to? They go to Bhagawan. When King Bali or any other leader of the Asuras happens to cause some trouble for those devatas, maybe takes over Indra's throne, what do the devatas do? They go running to Cheer Sagar and ask for Vishnu's help. Oh, please help us. These Asuras are troubling us so much. We don't know what to do. We've been kicked out of our own abode. So one time that happened, Bhagwan Vishnu said, okay, we'll arrange something. So he arranged for Samudra Manthan, the churning of Cheer Sagar, with the idea of getting the Amrit that the devtas would drink, and then they would be able to defeat the Asuras with this power of the Amrit. So he arranged for the whole thing. He said, bring this huge celestial mountain. We need something huge to put in the ocean in order to churn the ocean of milk so that the Amrit will come out. So they tried to bring this huge mountain. Devtas and Asuras together couldn't carry it. They got crushed under it. Bhagwan had to come and pick it up and put it in the ocean for them. Okay, now do your churning. And Bhagwan stands back and watches. They couldn't do that because the mountain started sinking in the Cheer Sagar. Bhagwan had to take Kachhap avatar, the form of a huge divine tortoise, and he went under the mountain and held it up from underneath. So he said, ab to karo na? Go ahead, now churn. He also brought Vasuki, great divine snake to act as the rope to go around the mountain. Okay, now churn. So devtas and asuras tried pulling back and forth to churn it. They couldn't do it. They didn't have enough strength. So Bhagwan again took one end of Vasuki with one hand, the other end with the other hand, and he churned the ocean for them. Finally, the Amrit comes out. What happens? Asuras grab it and start going away to drink it. Again, devtas are saying, now what do we do? This was the whole reason we churned the ocean. We lost the Amrit already. Bhagwan says, don't worry. He takes Mohini avatar and he comes and deludes the minds of the asuras and gets the Amrit from them and distributes it only to the devtas, not to the asuras. So these devtas are totally helpless without Bhagwan. They can't do anything without him. They're at most his employees. And whatever work they do is with the power they receive from him. So if someone is doing Raganuga Bhakti to attain the divine bliss of Shri Krishna, and at the same time they think, oh, but I also have to do this worship to Nagara Devta. I also have to do this worship to Shani Devta on this day. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. No, it's you. If you're worshipping Bhagwan, why worship his employees, the devtas? It's like if the president is your friend, you can get anything you want, just ask him, he'll do it for you. And you think, oh, maybe I should make this town council member in this small municipality my friend also, just in case I need something from him. What? Uski kya ginti hai jab president hai tumhare dost? Same thing when you have Bhagwan, when you're worshipping Bhagwan, what is the need to depend on any devta? In the Bhagavatam, Vedavyasji says, yatha taror mulani shechanena tripyanti tatskandha bhujopashakha pranopahara chayathendriyanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyutejya. He says, let's say you have a big, huge tree, and this tree has hundreds of thousands of leaves on it. You want to keep all the leaves happy and healthy. What do? Pour water on the root. Do you go and sprinkle water on all the leaves? No, you just pour water on the root. If you water the root, the whole tree, the roots, the trunk, the branches, the twigs, the leaves, the flowers, the fruit, everything gets nourished. In the same way, when you worship Bhagwan, all the other powers are fully satisfied. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shri madur jitamevava tattadeva vagachatvam mamatejonsha sambhavam. Gita. Shri Krishna says, whoever has any power anywhere in this world, be it a devta or anyone, whatever is great, whatever is luminous, whatever is powerful, it shines with a tiny fraction of the power that I provide to it. So, the devtas are fully dependent on Bhagwan. If you worship Bhagwan, you've already worshipped the devtas. You've already satisfied them totally. They're saying, oh, you've worshipped our boss? Okay, you don't need anything more from us. And if leaving the worship of Bhagwan, we worship only the devtas, Indra, Agni, Vagaira, not that we have to disrespect them. We don't disrespect them. We respect them, but we know they're under Maya, like us. So what are they going to give us? So let's say someone ignoring worship to God worships only the devtas, then it's like sprinkling water on all the leaves and neglecting to pour water on the root. The tree's going to die. So you won't get anything divine just by worshipping devtas. Thus, this is an important part of ananyata. In ananyata, we realize, we understand I'm worshiping God for God realization. So I should now cease the worship of all the other devtas. There's no harm in this. There's no disrespect in this. It's just logic. It's what we're supposed to do. When you graduate from elementary school, you go to high school. Then in order to go to university, you have to leave your high school, right? Do you keep attending your high school once you've graduated and you're taking courses in university? No, nobody does that. So now that you're doing bhakti to Bhagwan for God realization, you leave the other practices. There's no need to continue with that. That was preliminary. You've graduated now. So when Bhagwan Shri Krishna says again and again and again, you must be ananya, that brought up a question yesterday that I raised to you, that why does he demand us to be ananya? That we should only depend on him and not have our mind attached anywhere else? So now you can understand that everywhere else means anywhere in Maya. If your mind is attached in Maya, or you have emotional dependence anywhere in Maya, that means you're going to be reborn in Maya. If you have your mind attached to God, you'll attain him. Our attachment is like a locomotive. The locomotive goes and it pulls the rest of the train behind it, right? So wherever our attachment goes, that's where we're going to follow automatically. Jada Bharat Paramahans was a great jnani. He had removed all the attachments from his mind. But one day while he was sitting on the bank of the river, actually was going there to bathe because he had an ashram near the river, he saw a mother deer who was pregnant jump into the river, having been frightened by a lion who had roared. So the mother deer jumped into the river and started swimming to get away from the lion. And she was so overcome with fear to get away from the lion that she didn't even notice that that baby deer had been born while she was there in the river. She just kept fleeing and never knew. So Jada Bharat Paramahans saw the whole thing happen. And he saw now this baby deer is drowning in the river, getting swept away with the current. He jumped in and grabbed the deer. But the mother was long gone. So now he had this baby deer on his hands. He started caring for it, feeding it, sleeping with it to keep it warm, bathing it, taking care of it like you would your own child. So he became very attached to this deer. And at the time that he knew he was passing away, he was going to die, he called his disciples and he said, now I'm going, you all take care of this deer. And according to the Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram yah prayati samadbhavam tam tamevaiti kaunteya sada tadbhava bhavita. Shri Krishna says, whatever you remember as you're leaving your body, that's what you're going to attain. And what are you going to remember? Whatever you're attached to. You can't consciously remember something at the time you're dying. You're not conscious. You're unconscious. But in your subconscious mind, what are you going to think of? Whatever you're most attached to. So Jada Bharat thought of this deer. So Bhagavatam tells us that he was reborn as a deer in his next life because that's what he was attached to. So it's like the law of gravity. It's a force of attraction in this world, right? So something like that, our attachment becomes the cause of our rebirth in our next life. So if we are attached anywhere in Maya to any living or non-living thing, according to the status of that thing we're attached to, we'll be reborn. So if we attach our mind to devtas, we'll go to swarg. If we're attached anywhere in this world, we'll be reborn here. If we're attached to any tamas person or thing, we'll go to narak. But the point is, we'll be still caught in this cycle of birth and death and bound by Maya. If we want to attain God, we have to attach our mind to Him. So that's why Shri Krishna says, if you want to attain me, attach your mind to me. Keep it out of the mayic area. Your mind can be involved in the mayic area, but not attached. That's the difference. Involve your mind in doing your work, taking care of your family, doing your duty, but don't attach your mind in that. Where does attachment come in? When we hope from something. Oh, you are mine. You will take care of me. I can depend on you. That feeling of security and mamata, that is the attachment that leads to our being reborn in Maya. So Shri Krishna is saying, have all of those feelings for me. After all, I alone am yours. Tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. Oh, Bhagwan, you alone are my everything. It's a fact, He is. So we are supposed to realize that in our mind, leaving the attachment of all others, only have our mind attached to Shri Krishna. This is very important. If we don't do this, we can do all the devotion in the world for hours and hours, and we'll never attain our goal because we never reach the point of full surrender to Shri Krishna. That paras and the ferrum have to actually touch. Then the ferrum will become gold. Otherwise, if there's even a fraction of a millimeter of distance between them, the ferrum won't become gold. So our mind has to be 100% surrendered to Him. This is ananyata. One time, there was a Mahatma who was giving a speech near Govardhan Hill. You know, during the summer, during Shravana Mas, a lot of people go and do parikrama of Govardhan. It's considered to be a very auspicious thing to do. So they take several days and they do the whole parikrama, all 27 kilometers. So this Mahatmaji was leading a group of people in this parikrama around Govardhan Hill. Each evening they would stop and make camp and he would give some pravachan that night. So he was giving pravachan one evening and this one villager came by, just an uneducated, simple villager. And everybody else was kind of sitting, you know, very politely listening to this Mahatmaji. So this villager just came and, you know, he was just standing like that, just watching. So this Mahatma said, who are you? So the villager said, who are you? So Mahatmaji thought for a second. He says, I am Shri Krishna's Ananya Bhakt. I am Shri Krishna's exclusive devotee. So that villager had no idea what is an Ananya Bhakt. So the saint, the Mahatma, he said, since I've told you what I am, can you now tell me who you are? The villager says, I am Shri Krishna's Pananya Bhakt. So, Mahatmaji is thinking, Pananya? I don't know what that is. What's Pananya? But the villager asked first, what is this Ananya? Mahatmaji says it means someone who only worships Shri Krishna and no one else. Now you please tell me, what is Pananya? The villager says, It's someone who has never heard of anyone else other than Shri Krishna, never heard anyone else's name, doesn't know anyone but Shri Krishna. That is Pananya. Mahatmaji said, today you have become my guru. He humbly went before that villager and said, today you have taught me. That's the ultimate state of being Ananya. So if we have our mind attached to Shri Krishna anywhere in the divine area, means Shri Krishna has uncountable names, uncountable forms, uncountable lilas, uncountable divine abodes, uncountable divine virtues, and uncountable divine associates. Parikar, like Yashoda Maiya, Gwalbals, Gopis, these are all his divine associates. So, this is all the divine phenomena. Naam, Roop, Leela, Guna, Dham, Jan. These six things, Bhagwan has all of them in unlimited amount. So you can attach your mind anywhere in that divine area, and it counts as being ananya. But if the mind gets attached in the mayic area, then it doesn't count as ananya. So yesterday the question was that, well, in the world you can love many people, your mother, father, spouse, children, etc., etc. Why is Bhagwan saying you can only love me? So the answer is that, in fact, he has uncountable forms and names and divine associates. You can love any of them or all of them, no problem. But keep the mind attached on the divine side, not in the material side. In fact, the material party says the same thing. You have the divine party, Bhagwan and all of his associates, and you have the material party, all of us under Maya. We also say the same thing, don't we? Okay, it's okay. Do a little bit of devotion to God. That's fine. But don't do Radhe Radhe 24 hours a day. In other words, do a little bit of formality to God, but don't get attached on the divine side. No, no, no. Stay attached to me. I want you to love me, the mother says to her child. Love me. Do some formalities to God. The father also agrees. Kripaluji Maharaj told us that many times it happened to him that a mother and father brought their child saying, oh, Maharaji, please help us. This child is total Gnostic, doesn't believe in God at all, never goes to the mandir, never sits in any katha or anything. So we've brought him, please tell him something. So Maharaji says, okay, I mean, I'll explain the same philosophy I explain to everybody. It's up to him to listen and accept it or not. So those parents brought that child in the satsang, maybe a teenager or something, and they started hearing Kripaluji Maharaj's explanation of the divine philosophy. It made sense to them, made more sense. They decided this was really the goal of my life. I want to attain Sri Krishna in this life. A few months later, the parents bring their child back to Maharaji and say, Ab Guruji garbad ho gaya. Kya garbad ho gaya? Now he's doing so much devotion to God. Maharaji says, what can I do? All I did was explain the philosophy. It's up to the person how much they incorporate it into their life or not. So we want people, okay, be good, do a little bit of devotion to God, but just as a formality, keep your mind attached to me. People are afraid if he starts loving God, he's not going to love me. So you see, the material party wants you to keep your mind only attached in material things, and the divine party says, keep your mind only attached in divine things. So both are the same. Sri Krishna is not saying anything different than anyone in this world says. But he has a point that if we keep our mind attached in worldly things, we multiply our worldly bondage. And if we keep our mind attached to him or anywhere in the divine phenomena, then we release the bondage of Maya and we can attain actual divine bliss. Now, within this divine area, you also have some choices to make. One is not better than another. If you attach your mind anywhere in the divine field, you're going to attain God. However, as you've heard me explain the last few days, you have different options in the divine world. You can attain formless God. You can attain Almighty God and go to Vaikunth and enjoy the ras of Shant Bhav, which is a more distant relationship from God. You can go beyond that. You could attain Bhagwan Ram, which is where the revelation of Premanand begins. You could go beyond that and attain Shri Krishna, where the full revelation of Premanand is. Then even within that, the question comes, are you a Dasya Bhav devotee, or Sakya Bhav devotee, or Vatsalya Bhav devotee, or Madhurya Bhav devotee? You have so many choices, and depending which form of God you worship and with which bhav, you will get a different divine state. Remember, there are 8 states of divine love. 8 states of bhakti in the divine world. Depending on which of those bhav you have adopted, you will attain a higher or lower state of premanand. So according to that, we should make a decision. I'm going to worship this form of God with this bhav because I want to attain that state. Why do people worship multiple forms of God? There's nothing wrong with it. It's good to respect all the forms of God. We know they're all one. Krishna, Shiva, Durga, Ram, Vishnu, they're all absolutely one. So there's nothing wrong with worshiping all of those forms. However, ask yourself the question, what are you trying to attain? Let's say someone is thinking, I want to attain Shri Krishna with Sakya Bhav. I want to become one of his playmates forever in the divine world. So if that's your goal, and you've understood that, and you're not asking God for any worldly thing, your goal is just to worship Shri Krishna with Sakya Bhav, and you know all the other forms are also part of Shri Krishna's personality, they're all one, then why exactly are we worshiping multiple forms? You're worshiping Shri Krishna, and then you're worshiping Shri Krishna in the form of Shiva, and then you're worshiping Shri Krishna in the form of Hanumanji, and you're worshiping Shri Krishna in the form of Durga, because they're all one, right? So do you think you have to do it to appease these other forms? That, oh, if I don't worship Hanumanji, he's going to be upset with me? I've been doing Shiva Abhishek since I was a little boy, but now I'm thinking I want to attain the love of Shri Krishna. But if I stop worshipping Bhagwan Shiv, he might get irritated with me. This is how we think, as if God is a material personality who is going to become jealous or punish us for not worshipping him. It's like a wife who fears that, oh, I have this picture of my husband, and he has a beard, and he's wearing a 3-piece suit and a tie. And I've had that picture on this wall for years, but now I have this new picture of him with his beard shaven and he's wearing kurta pajama. I wanted to put this picture up, but I'm thinking he might be angry at me if I do that. No one would think like that, because the wife knows, I'm not putting some other man's picture up there, I'm just putting my husband's picture where he looks a little different. So when Bhagwan, Vishnu, Shiva, Ram, Krishna, they're all absolutely one. You worship Krishna as Krishna. You worship him as Shiva. You worship him as Durga. You think it makes any difference to him? No difference. You have total freedom to worship any form of God you want. So this thing comes in our mind that, oh, these are all different personalities. They're not different. Eko Deva. There's one Supreme God. He just has many sides of his personality. That's all. So we are free to choose. We can worship him in any form we want. We can worship only one form and not any other forms if we want. He's not going to mind at all. As long as we don't have any durbhavana towards any of his forms. Like if someone says, I'm worshiping Shri Krishna and I don't like Bhagwan Shiv. That doesn't work. You have to give full respect to all of his forms, knowing that, oh, my divine beloved also has this form? Well, I also love that form, but I'm concentrating on this form. That's all. Normally, we worship many different forms for this reason. Yani kani cha mitrani kartavyani shatani cha. It is said that it's good to make many, many friends, because if one friend turns their back on you, the other one might give you what you need. If one friend lets you down, you always have another one to turn to. So if Hanumanji doesn't fulfill my worldly desire, because normally when we do bhakti, it's with a list of worldly desires, so let me cover all my bases. I'll worship Hanumanji, Lakshmiji, Durgaji, Ram, Krishna, I'll worship everybody because I want to give myself maximum chance of getting my desires fulfilled. But now you understand that that's not the reason that we do bhakti, not to get our worldly desires fulfilled. The reason for doing bhakti is to attain God, plain and simple. To surrender our mind to Him, to receive His divine grace and become God realized. So then all that's left for us to do is choose, in what form do I want to attain God? Then worship that form, plain and simple. Did any saint ever worship multiple forms of God? Tulsidas ji worshipped Ram. That's it. He gave full respect to all the other forms. He gave respect to Ganesh ji, but when he honored Ganesh ji, he asked him, Ganesh ji, please give me more bhakti to Ram. Everything was about Ram for him. Mirabai worshipped only her Gopal, Shri Krishna. Every saint had an Ishtadev, a particular form of God that they worshipped, and they, whatever souls came to them, they taught to do bhakti to that form of God only. They didn't do bhakti to multiple forms of God, and they didn't teach bhakti to multiple forms of God, but they respected all the forms of God. So we simply have to determine, in what form do I want God to come to me, and meditate on that form of God. Worship that form of God. Do keep this in mind, though, that these Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya Bhav are only possible with Ram and Krishna, because only Ram and Krishna are revealing the Premanand. The other forms of God, the almighty forms, are not revealing Premanand. It's concealed within them. So just like you can't, let's say your mother is a Supreme Court judge, you can't waltz into the Supreme Court and demand to sit on your mother's lap during the court. It doesn't work that way. In the same way, you can't say, well, I'm just going to love God Vishnu as my own child. No, no, he's like that Supreme Court judge. He's got all that formality and he behaves in that way. If you want him to be your son, you can worship Shri Krishna. He's the same Vishnu, but in an informal form. That's all. So there is a difference. That's why Shri Krishna gives us all of these choices. And this Madhurya Bhav is only possible with Shri Krishna, not with any other form of God. Thus, knowing what you want to attain, you can choose to do bhakti to that form of God, and then you will attain the divine vision of that form of God. This is the logic behind ananyata, that our mind should only be attached to God, not within maya, even though we have to live in maya. And even within the divine field, we should choose the form of God that we want to attain and do bhakti to that form of God, because that will help us focus our feelings and develop more love more quickly for God. If we're trying to worship multiple forms of God, it kind of diffuses our devotional feelings and we never are able to develop a strong connection, a real bhav with any one form. So it is wise to choose one form. If you're not sure, it's fine. That day may come where you want to choose one. If this is not the time for you, that's also okay. But know that it's okay as far as God is concerned. He's fine with us worshiping Him in only one form. And that way we can proceed more quickly towards our goal of God realization. There's another important condition that we'll take up tomorrow. This is the condition of remembering God all the time, that bhakti should be nirantar, unbroken, 24 hours a day. So how is this possible while living in this mayic world? We'll discuss that tomorrow. Bolie Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai.